Gators Breakdown, the Gators fan podcast, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SCC, and we'll be taking a look back at Florida's rebound win over Colorado State, 48-10. And before we get into that, remember, go to newsforjacks.com/GatorsBreakdown to find all the Gators Breakdown past episodes and articles from the News for Jack sports team. That's newsforjacks.com/GatorsBreakdown. Hey, look, you can catch us live right here like you're doing on YouTube or on iTunes, Google Play. You can find the podcast, all those places. And thanks for you guys that are catching us live on YouTube right now. But hey, when you use these services, please share, rate, review the show, and let Gator Nation know what they're getting with Gators Breakdown out there. And on social media, follow Gators Breakdown on Twitter and Facebook at Gators Breakdowns. As I mentioned, nice rebound win for the Gators over the Colorado State Rams, 48-10. And I say it's a good win for a couple reasons. You know, first off, you know, many were down after last week's loss to Kentucky. So, look, this review episode, much better than what we had last week and what we were looking at last Sunday when we were taking a look back at that game. Florida gets the second win in the season now. And we wondered about the mindset of this team coming off that loss to Kentucky and how the Gators would respond. There was a lot of talk of Colorado State coming into the swamp after upsetting Arkansas and how they would test this Gators team. And in the end, they really didn't. A shaky start for the Gators. You may not look that way for a little while, but the Gators settled down on offense. And in one place, we know right now, we saw it in the first game, and look, didn't really get it in the second game. Didn't get a lot of things we wanted to in a Kentucky game. But one place Dan Mullen has made his presence felt already in this program is with special teams. That is the one place you can tell these players have really bought into this coaching staff. Special teams are again special at the University of Florida. That was the first play where the Colorado State punter dropped the snap and was tackled as soon as he was about to kick the ball. And look, that one had a chance of getting blocked even before the drop. So, you know, the Gators were definitely looking, saw some things in tape, I think, to really be able to, when Colorado State was going to punt, they saw some things that they could go out there and block some punts. So, you know, the Gators took over at the 11-yard line there, but had to settle for a field goal. But later in the half, as I mentioned, the Gators must have seen something because they were really pressuring Colorado State when they were punting the ball in the first half. And true freshman Amari Burney made his presence felt in getting through and blocking a punt that was recovered for a touchdown. And then, hey, look, in the fourth quarter, a rare occurrence. Not since the 2015 SEC Championship game have we seen a punt return for a touchdown when Antonio Callaway returned it against Alabama. But Freddie Swain takes this one 85 yards for a touchdown. And look, I think we also have pretty much seen Florida has itself a pretty good field goal kicker true freshman Evan McPherson there as he goes 2 for 2. And one of those, that second one, a 48-yarder, would have been good from, you know, 55 yards plus there. You know, he really booted that straight down the middle. So, hey, look, taking a look at these special teams, and I'm featuring those guys first because, look, that is where we have seen Dan Mullen's fingerprint on this team already. You know, through three games, two of the three special teams have made some big plays, and that's probably the biggest difference we've seen so far in previous staffs and what we've seen with Dan Mullen so far. Is that's the biggest change, that's the biggest positive change, biggest outcome that we've seen Dan Mullen taking over. And there's going to come a time where special teams won't be extending leads and blowouts. There will be a time that the Gators will have to count on them being a difference in close conference games. You know, is it going to be needed to get the offense in great field position or put points on the board? You know, we'll see. But at least we know that it's going to help put the offense in better position. And if the offense is really, really struggling, maybe get some points on the board as well. And it can turn games around. So there's going to be these close games the Gators are playing. And these special teams are really going to show up and make a difference in a close game. So, you know, there was some definitely some other encouraging signs in the bounce back win versus Colorado State. So even on the early interception and incompletions from Franks, I was encouraged. And I know that may sound weird, but the reason I was encouraged is because the right plays were called. On the first drive, on the third down and four, pass to Scarlett. Scarlett was wide open for an easy conversion, but Franks was pressured, and the pass was a little off target, but still catchable. And I know I caught a lot of heat on Twitter for kind of making that all about Franks. Should have been a better throw. And look, now I can question why Scarlett was in the game instead of a better catching running back. But that's a play that has to be made by Franks and Scarlett. It is on both of them. But, you know, those are the little things. If that passes a little better on target, maybe Scarlett catches it. And that play was going for a big, big play. That was a lot of yardage behind Scarlett that nobody was around him. So, you know, it's just little things that kind of add up. But, look, it was a perfect play call. As I just said, maybe it would have been better with P. Ryan or Davis out of the backfield instead of Scarlett, who has trouble catching the ball there. But perfect play call. So, as I said, an encouraging sign there. On the next drive, it's 3rd and 6 from the Colorado State 7-yard line. And Franks throws a great back shoulder throw to Ciante Lewis. But as we know, Lewis is the best receiver and can't make the catch there. So once again, perfect play call. That's where I'm encouraged. But I do wonder why it's Lewis as the receiver instead of Jefferson, Grimes, or Cleveland. You know, it should have been a touchdown after the turnover instead of having to settle for a field goal. So, you know, look, started slow. 0-for-6 did Franks, but there's two plays right there that I was really encouraged with. And lastly, the interception that Franks threw was another good, great play call. I mean, play action, great protection, and time for Franks, but he waits too long after Hammond, after coming off of his first reads, and the defensive back had time to recover and get the interception. So once again, perfect call, execution just not there. So I feel encouraged because we see plays to be made. And that wasn't always the case under previous staffs there. You know, there are glimpses. So, you know, if Florida hits these plays, these are early in the game, and game is basically over by the time we get to the second quarter if the game plays out the same way it did. So, you know, there's even though Frank started 0-for-6, he was the main cog in all of these plays, and he's still learning this offense on the fly. And I know it sounds like I defend Franks more than others, but the truth is he's still learning this offense. And I know there are some easy things that he's missing, but that's going to happen while learning and playing at the same time. And that goes for the whole team. And that goes for the offensive line. It goes for the defensive line. But more importantly, of course, his quarterback position. And Mullen said it best after the game. And quote, I'll be honest with you. It's only his third game. I know people get on him with this narrative. He started all these games. Not in our system. He hasn't. And I can't tell you what offense they ran last year or what he was being coached or what he was being taught. I don't spend any time on that. It's his third game in our system right there. So, look, I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it, too. And that was the way I was looking at it even before Dan Mullen come out and said in his post-game press conference. So, after starting 0-for-6, some his fault, some not, he turned it around and played really, really well the rest of the game. And look, Florida only had 44 plays on the day, you know, in this game because of the special teams touchdowns and field position limiting plays into possession because you're starting so close to the goal line anyway. So, you know, those limit possessions, especially with the special teams touchdowns, because you give it right back to the opposing offense. So after Franks goes 0-for-6, the offense only ran 28 more plays with Franks as the quarterback after that. And he was 8-for-9 for 119 yards and 2 touchdowns. He really turned it around. Now, look, you guys know if you followed me last week and on social media, go run the ball. And Florida relied on the run game more, and it really opened up the Colorado State defense for much easier reach for Franks, and he took advantage. So, you know, that's another key in this game I wanted to see. And going back to our preview, and that was just to stick to the running game. And we know the offensive line hasn't been at its best, but I still feel Florida abandoned the run game too early in the first couple games. When you had three backs that were averaging, you know, over 5 yards a carry going into the game. And so Florida stuck with it versus a bad Colorado State defense, and it paid dividends in the run game and pass game, as I mentioned, how much it helped Franks. So, you know, Florida had 7 runs in the first quarter for only 3.9 yards per attempt out of 13 total plays, but they kept with it. Also had 7 carries in the second quarter, out of only 11 plays, and averaged 8.1 yards per attempt. So part of that, welcome back, Jordan Scarlett. And you guys know I've kind of been a critic of Scarlett of late, but I'll give credit where credit is due. I was glad Florida stuck to the run game because I think it helps backs like Scarlett. Almost as soon as I tweeted out during the game that I'd like to see some consecutive run plays called, Florida did it. Yeah, Florida had a first and 10 at the Colorado State 30 after a 24-yard laser from Franks to Jefferson. And on that first down run, a gain for no Scarlett, but Florida came right back and second and 10 with a counter play to Scarlett. He took off for a 30-yard touchdown. And let's not forget the great blocking from Kamori Gamble and Josh Hammond there. Those are the type of explosive plays in the run game we're looking for, and that's how you'll see those plays happen. Offensive line sets it up, great downfield blocking, and a running back takes it to the house. And it was really good to see. You know, it's good to see that it was. I think it's really good to see that it was Scarlett that kind of had that first big run of the game. But, you know, especially for me because of how critical I've been and how much praise P. Ryan and Davis and Pierce have gotten. But good for Jordan Scarlett to be able to get that run. And I think it goes without saying, we need to see Damian Pierce some more. This guy hits the hole on a mission. I mean, we may see more with the Malik Davis injury. X-rays were negative for Davis, by the way. So here's to a speedy recovery to get him back on the field. But I'd love to see more carries from Pierce, especially after he was shot out of a cannon on another explosive play on that 68-yard run. It lends itself again to how do you break up these carries? Scarlett showed up in this game. Pierce showed up in this game. P. Ryan was better the first two games. Malik Davis, I don't know how long he'll be out, but, of course, you got to throw him into the mix as well. So, it's really, really hard to tell because there was only 44 plays to go along with this on the day. So there's not wasn't really a lot of plays to sit there and kind of hand out carries throughout the game just because there wasn't that many plays to begin with. My biggest complaint of the offense, and it's only a minor complaint because, as I said, this didn't have many plays to begin with. Get Kadarius Toney the ball more. I'd have at least a drive, a half, where he is the featured player. Get him in on the screen. Put him in the wildcat. And I think I'd like to see him more on third down situations. Florida struggled on third down so far this year. 7-13 versus Kentucky. Only 3-8 versus Colorado State. I think he can help there. If Florida gets in there to some third manageable situations, I think that's where Toney needs the ball in his hands a little more. He can make something happen. I think he can convert these third downs that Florida's kind of struggling with right now. It's really hard to take a lot away from the offense. I think you can take away the turnaround from the first quarter to the second quarter and what they did there. You can take away the explosive runs from Scarlett and Pierce and some of the tough running too that we saw from Pierce, Scarlett, and P. Ryan as well. Some very tough runs that those guys did there. So you can take those things away, but 44 plays altogether, kind of just really hard to get a read with how much Colorado State had the ball after the Florida special teams comes out and just kind of scored and had to get the ball right back to Colorado State. You go to the other side of the ball on defense, and I think it was first and foremost, Mullen and Grantham was sending a message after last week's performance. You had Adam Schuler, Kyrie Campbell, Kylan Johnson, Rayshawn Jackson all got starts and really made their presence felt throughout the game. Jackson was tied for second in tackles with 7. Jabari Zuniga, 2.5 sacks, was a force all day. Thing with Jabari Zuniga, can we see it in SEC play? I've brought that up before, and when I was on social media with Twitter yesterday, sharing how well he was doing. Thomas Goldkamp, our friend from Swamp 24/7, kind of retweeted that and kind of asked the same question, and that is the question with Jabari Zuniga. It's always been the question with Zuniga. Can he show up in SEC play when competition ramps up? Hopefully he can continue this type of play. It was good for a defense to have that guy who could consistently get back there and make the quarterback had to worry about him. The right tackle had to worry about Zuniga. The left tackle had to worry about him a good bit. So it's just, can we go when we go to Tennessee? Is Zuniga a guy you can count on? When Florida goes to Mississippi State, when we host LSU in a few weeks, is Zuniga going to be able to keep that up? He has a lot of tackles for loss in his career. He has some sack numbers, but it's usually been against the lower tier competition on the schedule. And once again, here in Colorado State. So, while Zuniga has shown flashes, we need to see it in SEC play. So hopefully he can continue this type of play here. Yeah, but good for this defense to show up versus an explosive offense in general. Sure, there were times when the defensive line couldn't generate a rush and many holes in the zone defense in the middle of the field where Carter Samuels had some time. But this was a good response by the defense after last week. Discipline was better. Tackling was better. The young defensive backs didn't let big plays happen behind them. And as our good friend and co-host for Gators Breakdown, Will Miles, pointed out, Vashawn Joseph even showed improvement in pass coverage. And so good on this staff for being able to address the issue from last week. And it was obvious the players responded. So, that's what, that was the nice things that we saw from this Colorado State game, is being able to respond after disappointed, responding with the problems that you saw last week. And most of those were fixed, and overall addressing issues, making practice really, really hard during the week. I've heard the rumors where the practice was brutal last week. Really brutal. And I think you saw from some of these players out there as well, sending some messages by some guys not starting, with Conliff and Slayton and changing it. And, really, really good to get a lot of defenders the ball. I mean, James Houston led the team with 8 tackles, 3 solo, forced a fumble there. And he's really shown up in these first few games. So if Florida can get there was a lot of talk about David Reese and if he was going to play in this game or not. He didn't, but good for this linebacker core to fix the issues from last week without their general on the field, without the leader of the defense on the field. And so that's another reason I kind of like what I saw from that, was because there was a lot of talk about him being back on the David Reese being back on the field, and the linebacking core would need him, and they're going to need him when SEC play starts. Don't get me wrong. That's one reason I think Florida, they were going to, it was kind of mostly a game time decision. I heard around Friday that he may not play, but I think they're really just trying to make sure he's really ready for SEC play, and the Gators are going to need Reese. But, good for the overmatched opponent for those linebackers to come in, led by, James Houston, Rashad Jackson, those guys really showing up and making plays there. But, you had James Houston, 8 tackles, as I mentioned, but you had Jeremiah Moon, Chauncey Gardner, Rashad Jackson, all with 7 tackles apiece there. Brad Stewart, struggled a little bit, but he had 5 tackles on the 1 scoring touchdown drive. He got kind of abused there, but, it's going to happen. Teams are going to score, we could kind of look at there. And Kylan Johnson, like I said, good for him being able to get the start, playing last year as well, and being able to come in and get 4 tackles for him. As well. So, good showing there, I think, from the defense in general. And I do have some responses to some questions. Not really questions, but some people, I did ask for your responses and reactions from the game yesterday against Colorado State. So I'll get into some more thoughts with some of these comments here. But Mark Kearse, at Design Mark, many of you guys know him out there from a lot of the graphics he puts out there, really great graphics looking there that he puts out on Twitter. So Mark says, running backs need more carries. I wish Franks took more advantage of the underneath routes instead of the long bomb all the time. Defense still look terrible at tackling. I have more, but I'll wait to see if we are just holding back our playbook for SEC play. That's maybe where I see why Tony isn't getting the ball a little more, is maybe, and I'm not a big fan of the whole holding back and also using it as an excuse, but maybe that's where I see some of the lack of Tony stuff, is maybe they, look, I thought he should have been unleashed against Kentucky a little bit more last week, especially after what we saw he did to him last year, but it was his first game. I don't know how much the staff thinks they can trust him just yet, so maybe that's why we didn't see him a whole lot last week. He made his presence felt against Colorado State with 2 plays in a row. And hopefully we see him again more next week against Tennessee as well. Maybe there is some more Wildcat. Maybe there are some more formations. Maybe there are some more quote-unquote sneaky plays you can do out there with Kadarius Toney, and kind of getting the defense maybe to flow one way and get Toney the ball going the other way. Running backs need more carries, of course. I think so, too. I'm big on not making Franks go out there and win the game. We saw what Florida stuck to the run game. It opened up that Colorado State defense. They didn't know what kind of plays were coming. They were doing a lot of guessing out there. So it opened up some one-on-ones with Franks. We saw the long bomb to Van Jefferson for a touchdown. I mean, look, when you're running the ball well, that's the kind of matchups you're going to get. And I trust these receivers. If Franks has time to throw, and the run game is going well, I trust him to be able to throw it one-on-one with these receivers that Florida has out there. And another thing is my only worry, not only worry, another worry for Franks is just looking for that big play all the time. Go through your progressions with speed, make the right decision, throw the ball. A lot easier said than done, I know. But that is where he has got to get better. Mark also asked there, when's David Reese coming back? I just kind of talked about him. I do expect him to play versus Tennessee, so it'll be nice to get him back on the field there. Allie Peak Wilbur, Eric Wilbur's wife there, former Florida punter, sent in, score is not indicative of how much work this team has to do to beat anyone substantial. Yeah, I agree to a point there. The lines of scrimmage are still not where they need to be for the University of Florida. Still, like I said, only 44 plays, but still times where I would like to see more of a push by the defensive line, especially when they're not bringing the pressure, the blitz packages from Todd Grantham's defense there. I just want to see the trenches. Still got to get better. Definitely got to get better in SEC play. And, of course, the first quarter struggles. I like seeing a faster start, especially after last week. But good for the mental aspect of being able to bounce back there. Mullen did get on Franks now for that personal foul call. Mullen was pretty heated about that. He doesn't mind if you throw bad throws, interceptions. Mullen says that's coaching. But the personal foul is not coaching. That's on the player. So Mullen really got on to Franks about that there. And Mullen doesn't want Franks to pout. You know, that was another thing Mullen brought up in the post-game press conference. He doesn't want to see his quarterback with his head down. Doesn't want to see the quarterback pout. Look, it's going to happen. You're going to have bad plays. Get over it. Get out here and go for the next drive and prepare that way. Good coaching on the sideline from Dan Mullen there, something we've been lacking in games for a few seasons now. KT, Orange and Blue, at Blue and Orange KT, team showed improved effort. Secondary has to improve. Franks needs to let the ball go, playing for the perfect guy open, which leads to guys getting covered later in the route. Depth is thin all around except running back. Pierce should take Davis's spot in rotation while he's out with injury. So yeah, a lot there. Team definitely showed improved effort, as we said. I think it was a wake-up call with how bad they played last week and how tough practice was this week. You know, those guys, they needed it. I hate to say they needed a wake-up call 2 games into the season, but they absolutely did. There. So Mr. One Bits, I've seen so many games in recent years and I always pray for big plays. I miss one game and these players go all out. A block kick for a touchdown, a return punt for a touchdown, breakthrough run for a touchdown from Pierce. I want to watch games in the swamp. So there. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Sorry you had to miss those plays in person there. So E.B. Payne says, saw improvement, effort increase, and plenty of room still to grow while dominating the scoreboard in a game where the other team had the ball vastly more than we did. Impressed with 48 points on just 44 offensive plays. Excited to continue to watch this team continue to improve. And that's what it's going to be, guys. I mean, this team is going to have to improve, learn, and improve all at the same time. And it can't be done. It's gonna have to be done if Florida wants to turn this season around and kind of, you know, go where you can still get those 7-8 wins there. A lot of people kind of still down on the Kentucky game and projecting, you know, a six-win season there. But if Florida can improve, show the improvement there, you know, not a lot of wins to pencil in anymore, except for that Idaho game later in the season. So got to improve every week there. And if Florida can improve every week, there's still some wins out there. You know, you can't get stagnant there. Mullen preaches it every week. You know, we got to be better in practice from the last week. He says they were better in practice in week two than they were in week one. Didn't show it against Kentucky, but you better, you know, better practice, watch film, get the things right, go from there. So here we go. Let's see. Lethal inefficiency at low-key 850. Lethal inefficiency. There we go. Shot at our rivals to the west there. Didn't mind seeing that. With Syracuse pounding FSU. But to get to what he was saying, was extremely impressed with the defensive tackle Schuler and Campbell and how they collapsed the pocket all day. Was also impressed with linebacker James Houston again and special teams. I like what he says here. For anyone still wondering why Knox was hired in Sider's place, now you know. There's some truth to that, I think. You know, Knox was a big-time special teams guy at Mississippi State. Can't remember the graphic they showed, but, you know, I think Mississippi State since 2015 was top five or six in blocking field goals, punts, whatever it was. They showed a graphic in the game. I have to go back and look at it. But, you know, special teams have been good at Mississippi State for some time now. And, look, through three games, two of the games, Florida has shown improved special teams as well. So I wasn't going to bring you that. Now we know we know Sider's more about the recruiting side of it than we don't really know what it would could have worked out, running backs coach or whatever. We shifted to tight end coach, but the problem, you know, the reason for that is they needed Mullen felt the need to bring Knox in, and we've already seen the impact that we've seen on special teams there. The Gator Football Report says, like getting a W, but still very concerning team. 5-6 win season this year. Also, Pierce deserves some early carries. Get Lewis off my field on passing downs. Let's see some Kroll, Gamble, and Pitts. In all caps, get Tony the ball. Got to run more. Secondary got to grow up more. Some things I've already hit on there. I did mention Pierce getting more carries. I would like to see some more early in the game as well, because look, I really think, especially on the road coming up this week, we'll talk more about the Tennessee game, of course, coming up later this week on Gators Breakdown, but Florida's going to have to go run the ball in Knoxville. I don't want Franks throwing the ball 38 times again, especially on the road. If he's throwing the ball 38 times next week, I'm afraid it wouldn't be in good situations. So Pierce, I think, deserves some more early carries. See if he can bust another big one. Trying to quiet down that early crowd there in Knoxville. Yes, Deontay Lewis, it's so hard to tell. Yeah, in passing situations, not the best of options. He'll have those one or two great blocks a game, too, that really helps bring some runs. So I think that's probably where they like him a lot as well. But, yeah, you hope to see Kroll, Gamble, Pitts maybe get on the field a little bit more. Like I said, Kamori Gamble on Scarlett's run had a really nice block. So even your secondary options at tight end are showing the ability to spring some big plays. And as I mentioned, it's going to take those type of plays from guys that are not getting the ball to spring the big plays for the guys who are getting the ball. So, you know, very unselfish play there, and it will need to continue there. See Turnage. James Houston should be starting next to David Reese next week. Always around the ball, forced a fumble on the punter. He's earned it. I'd like to see what the coaches think about the linebacker position there, especially when Reese comes back and who you start alongside of him. But James Houston has showed a lot in these first three games to, I think, earn a lot more playing time there. So it would be, is he too similar to David Reese? You know, we'll kind of see there. I don't know how they, especially with linebackers falling back into coverage, how they feel about, those two on the field together. Sean Hankins, good friend Sean Hankins here. Franks is still improving week by week. Just matched a touchdown total of 9 from last year. That is encouraging. We will continue to be below average on offense until the offensive line becomes a better unit than they have shown as of late. Really encouraged with McPherson and special teams. Yeah, as I mentioned, special teams big. I mean, Florida may have found itself a pretty good kicker already after Pinedo. He could have stayed one more year, but Florida goes out, and I believe McPherson was the number one kicker in the nation in recruiting, and he's made his presence known early. Still got screwed over last week by the referees and their missed call in the Kentucky game, so his ratio would be a little bit better this year. But good for him when the Gators really needed some points for him to go out there and knock those two field goals through. Lethal Efficiency also sent in at low-key 850, also sent in. Also, the passing game still isn't nowhere where it needs to be for the games we have coming up, and unfortunately will cost us some games going forward. 13 is better than last year, but he's still holding this offense back. That's the thing. At times he is, at times he isn't. I still think he needs more help there. As I've said, when the run game is going and the offensive line gives him time, I think we've seen what he can do. It does, I'm sorry that it lends it for Franks' sake. I'm sorry that it lends itself that he needs so much help around him. Some quarterbacks out there can make more somethings out of nothings, but not Franks. He's going to need the help. And, no more important, it is a team game, and we see it with Felipe Franks, and it really has to be, I hate to say it has to be perfect around him for everything to go right, but it has to be pretty good around him. So, but I still think that goes back to him needing to learn more of the offense, learn the nuances of the offense, learn what defenses are bringing. Because that was another thing Dan Mullen and Jordan Scarlett also brought up too in the post game, was Colorado State came out and showed some things that they hadn't seen before. And there was a little confusion on Frank's side there. But, you know, as I mentioned, in that 0-for-6 stretch, there were some good played calls. Some calls played there. So, you know, it was kind of a, I think, 50-50 thing. Frank was a little confused and some teammates not helping him out when he actually did some good things there. So, Sean Hankins did see John Curto brings up a good point. At John James Curto, what is our offensive and defensive identity at this point? It's important to determine who you are and reinforce that week after week. I've seen three different teams so far. That was something I did bring up. When in a first year head coach, you're going to get a lot of ups and downs. And like, look, and I've said this time after time again, the coaches are still learning the players as well. And what they do well, as I've mentioned earlier, there's still some time. Some players are on the field in situations, like, you know, RJ Raymond getting in the first two games, getting those passes down the field. He was covered, you know, not being able to separation. You know, why is Raymond out there so much in those situations? Deontay Lewis with the back shoulder catch there. You know, Scarlett on the 3rd and 4. Yes, the perfect play call was there, but not really known for being the best option to catch the ball. So I still think they're trying to go through learning what certain players do in certain situations. Hard to get a read on this last game with 44 plays there. I think I said do. I think they wanted to stick with the run game, but when you want to stick with the run game with only 44 plays, you're not going to get a lot of passing there. So, but I didn't want to see Frank throwing the ball 38 times. That was, as I said, that's what we saw against Kentucky. So you're right, John. We've seen different identities up to this point there. Defensively, of course, the shutout against an overmatched opponent, not a shutout, but, you know, blowing the opponent out in the first game of the season, not a triple option, way lower tier type of team that was had blowout written all over it. Kentucky not being able to tackle, letting big plays happen this week, kind of bringing everything back together and being better on defense. That's all they needed to do in this third game. So I think that the big test and the identity of the defense is going to be what we see when they go on the road to Rocky Top there. So Sean Hankins, overall, the team is learning how to play right under Mullen and the staff. This is an adjustment year for the program and a bit of a project for the next few years. Gator fans need to be patient with him. Rome was not built in a day, nor will this team be elite in a season either. Brandon Cisneros, team has a lot of work to do, but I see progress. Hey, there's my word, progress in technique and intensity. Both lines got more push, defensive line more so than the offensive line, in my opinion. Damian Pierce, Kadarius Toney need more use, more P. Ryan catching out of the backfield, and I want to see us run the ball, open up the passing game, not reverse. I agree there, as I've mentioned. Just get that run game going. I think it helps the whole offense. Their heavy metal Gators still got a long ways to go, but the potential is there. This is something I was talking behind the scenes too with Will, and then heavy metal Gator brings it up. I'm not sold on Grantham. I believe the next three games will reveal more about this team. Go Gators! And look, I wasn't so impressed with what the scheme Grantham was running, but to that point, how much does he trust the secondary right now? After the big plays they let up so much against Kentucky the week before, look, the Gators didn't give up big plays yesterday. A lot of big plays there, you know, a lot of chunk plays, a lot of the explosive plays weren't there against an offense that had been doing it in their previous three games. So, you know, good for that defense to not let the big play happen. But, you know, there are times when, as I mentioned earlier, when the middle of the field was wide open, Grantham, we're not going to see Grantham blitz as much as we want. And as I think partly because of the trust of the secondary right now. There's not a lot of trust there. There's a lot of youth. There's a lot of inexperience. For right now, I think this is going to be a 20s to 20s defense, a 20 to 20 defense. What that means is, yeah, in the red zone, out of there, you know, keep. Once they get to the red zone, I think this defense, the game plans will have to be to kind of shut down there in SEC play. I think you'll see some better offenses there. Of course, you'll see some teams that have run the ball much better, but they're gonna keep the big plays from happening. Keep plays in front of them. You're gonna have a lot of these, you probably chunk yardage plays to convert third downs. Probably the defense will be on the field a lot. because I don't think we'll see a lot of the blitz packages, the blitz schemes that we're used to seeing under Todd Grantham because of the youth and the inexperience in the secondary. Now, you could reverse that around and say, well, we'll bring more pressure that'll help that secondary. But here's the thing. If you don't get to the quarterback, these better offensive lines that you're going to start facing, these better teams you're going to start facing, gives those quarterbacks some time in here in the SEC. They're going to hit those big plays. So if you bring the pressure and don't get to the quarterback, then that's where I think the big plays will happen with the coverage down the field with this inexperienced secondary. So I think it's going to be imperative, and I think Florida will probably start out every game trying to figure out how much pressure the front three, four guys can get by themselves. There was, as I mentioned, there were some plays hit from Colorado State, but most of the time Florida could get back there with the three, four guys bringing the initial pressure and not having to spend so much time blitzing and scheming up blitzes to try and cause havoc. So hopefully, this defensive line, this was a little spark for them. As I mentioned, Jabari Zuniga earlier, he can come in and start being that force when SEC play, with the meat of the SEC schedule coming up. A couple more tweets here before we get off here. C3, feels hollow to me. Those games don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. SEC games is what matters. Huge implications traveling to Rocky Top. Yeah, I mean, I can see where it feels a little hollow. These games, all in all, don't mean much. But coming off of a loss, the mentality going into this game, I think, was big. And that was the biggest part. Can you come in and do what you want to? And for the most part, after the first quarter, the Gators did. And Scott Sweat, here we go, last one. Start Brett Heggie, feed Damian Pierce the ball. I repeat, start Brett Heggie and feed Damian Pierce the ball. So I do think Heggie will start working into the rotation a little bit. He is the mean streak guy on the offensive line. And I think that we do need to see him and Pierce kind of teamed up more each other. I think once Heggie starts getting his health a little bit more, he missed a lot of time. He's still kind of learning the scheme, but I don't think you can ignore so much the mean streak he just brings out there on that offensive line. And so there we go. Good tweets, good thoughts from everybody out there. Some people see it one way, some people see it another way. Nobody's wrong in those situations. Everybody's looking for something different, but everybody's looking for a win. And that's what the Gators did against Colorado State to the tune of 48-10. So let's take a look around the SEC here before I let you go. South Carolina, remember their game was canceled against Marshall, so they did not play. SEC East, big-time rivals. Georgia beat Middle Tennessee State 49-7. Not much of a game there. Kentucky, after their win versus Florida last week, didn't let up against Murray State. It was only 17-3 at halftime, but they ended up winning 48-10 there. Tennessee, Florida's next opponent, 24-0 over UTEP, so they pitched a shutout there against a UTEP team that is now 0-3. Tennessee started slow, had some turnovers. Garantano only 168 yards passing. Ty Chandler, Florida's going to have to watch out for him at running back, 158 yards. He's another hard-to-tackle running back. It's kind of to the similar mold of Benny Snell there, so Florida have its hands full. And like I said, we'll take a look at that more coming up this week. Vandy almost had Notre Dame. Was going on the way to score. Really good field position door there towards the end. Threw an interception late. So Vanderbilt loses to Notre Dame 22-17. After being down, it was 16-3 at halftime. And Vanderbilt found a way to come back and make a game of that. But they do lose at Notre Dame 22-17. But Vanderbilt showing a lot of toughness there. Shermer, 326 yards passing. So that Gator secondary is going to have to be ready when they face him as well coming up in a few weeks. But good showing by Vanderbilt there. Game of the week in the SEC. LSU upsets Auburn 22-21 with a last-second field goal. Joe Burrow, of course, the interest there of him because of all the talk when he was transferring, 249 yards. Didn't have the best day, but had a heck of a fourth quarter. He showed up clutch time in that game, and LSU comes out of Death Valley with a 22-21 win. As we mentioned, Florida over Colorado State, 48-10. Colorado State last week beat Arkansas, and Arkansas, it's ugly for them. North Texas beat Arkansas 44-17. It was 17-0 North Texas after their first quarter. So big time disappointment there from Arkansas losing to North Texas in blowout fashion. Some people thought Ole Miss's offense could hang with Alabama. They did score first, took a 7-0 lead, and it was 28-7 after the first quarter, Alabama. So 62-7 is the final score. Alabama over Ole Miss. Wasn't even close at all. Those Ole Miss wide receivers couldn't do nothing against this Bama team, and Tua Tagovailoa really showed he's an accurate quarterback as well, and might be the best fit quarterback Alabama's had in Saban's era here. They're gonna steamroll everybody this year. They don't have a tough game between LSU, Auburn, and stuff like they usually do, but I don't see anybody beating Alabama right now. Mississippi State, opponent in 2 weeks, of course, beats Louisiana 56-10. Missouri escaped Purdue 40-37 there. So Drew Locke, 375 yards there at Purdue. Purdue's 0-3 for the season. Missouri's 3-0 after that game. So 40-37, Missouri over Purdue. And the last game in the SEC, 48-10, Texas A&M over Louisiana Monroe. Quick look at the standings here. Of course, Georgia and Kentucky, the only two teams in the East with a conference win. Georgia last week versus South Carolina. Kentucky last week over Florida. Both those teams 3-0. Missouri 3-0, as I mentioned. Florida 2-1, 0-1 in the conference. Tennessee 2-1 overall. No wins in the conference, of course, either. Vandy 2-1. South Carolina 1-1 after their game was canceled, 0-1 in the conference. Alabama and LSU lead the way in the West with the one conference win apiece. Both teams 3-0. Mississippi State 3-0 as well. And then Auburn, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Arkansas there. So, yeah, I'll start with those standings here. Showing this, so it's, most teams have played a conference game by now, and if not, they're playing it this upcoming week. So Florida wins 48-10 over Colorado State. It is officially Tennessee week, Tennessee hate week. So beat Tennessee. Let's go, Gators. That's a game that's always exciting. The game is being set now. Of course, it was set Saturday night. We already knew it was going to be a night game, but ESPN was kind of figuring out what they were going to do with their family of networks, whether it was going to be on ESPN, ESPN2, or 7:30 kickoff on SEC Network. But it is going to be a 7 p.m. kickoff in Rocky Top on ESPN. So primetime game for Felipe Franks in this offense. And it will be a raucous Rocky Top crowd. They're smelling the blood in the water. They smelled blood in the water coming into this game many a times in the past. Two first-year coaches, Dan Mullen, Jeremy Pruitt, but Pruitt's overall first year was, like I said, we'll talk more about this game coming up this week, but just on the surface, I don't think, you know, it looks good if Dan Mullen loses this game to a first-year head coach to a program similar to Florida and the struggles they've had recently. But as I said, we'll get in more to that. Mike LaValle from Last Word on College Football would join me, big Tennessee guy there. I've had him on before. Mike can break down Tennessee with the best of them, and we'll get him on here later this week. That'll be the Wednesday midweek episode. And tomorrow, next episode of Gators Breakdown, we'll bring on Will Miles. He broke down the game already, so you can go read his article at readandreaction.com. We'll talk more about it on the next episode of Gators Breakdown, so look for that tomorrow on Monday. So you'll either listen on Monday night live here on YouTube, or you'll catch it Tuesday morning when it's most of you catch it on your commute anyway. So thanks for all that. Much better feeling this week. As I said, Florida beats Colorado State 48-10. I'm your host of Gators Breakdown, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SCC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown, and beat Tennessee.